The more I think about it, the more I'm convinced that there's no plan B. God's got a plan A to reach our city. And it's you. It's you. It's us. It's not another plan. It's not, if we don't do it, he's not going to somehow default to the angels. It's the church. It's his people. To reach our city. To reach our neighbors. To reach our family members. To reach our friends. It's not another plan. He said, go and make disciples. And he's empowered it and equipped us with the Holy Spirit, with the knowledge of his word, and with a commission. Go and make disciples. There's not another plan. He's given us the mandate, and we get to take the overwhelming love of God and share it with people. It's a huge privilege and it's a huge responsibility, but there's not another plan. God has invited us into his family. We're his kids. And we get to take that invitation to others. There's not another plan. This is it. Does that resonate with anybody? We understand this is it. This is his plan. You, me, we're his plan to reach our city. We've got to be about our Father's business. But seeing souls ushered into the kingdom, I am convinced we're so close to the return of Christ. I preached a sermon last crossover service about the return of Christ is near, and I was very surprised that we made it to this year, that the Lord had not returned yet. And he's not slow concerning his promises. He's not slack. He's not pokey. He's not tardy. He's not willing that any should perish. He's long-suffering, and so he's hanging on that a few more might be reached, but that reaching them is up to us under the power of the Holy Spirit, anointed and equipped and empowered each one of us to reach the people in our lives. And we've only got so much time. I have no idea how much time I have, so I want to do everything I can to live every day to the fullest, being about my Father's business. This Friday, I had a very, very dear friend pass away. She's a pastor of our Regina Four Square Church. I served with her on our national team for the last 10 years. She's one of our unit supervisors. She had surgery in December that she never recovered from. Many of us reached out to her, didn't hear back, only to discover that she passed away this week. I'm so sad and I'm so mad at her for not saying goodbye. And yesterday, I don't know how you process grief, or if you have a pattern or a system, or when you need to think. When I need to really think and get away, quite often I go to the zoo. I wander around and I watch the majestic hippos. Sometimes the giraffes get in the way, but I wander and I think and I pray and I watch the pandas, and there's a crowd of people around, but make no mistake, I am alone. I am by myself in a crowd. And I hope that's not you this morning. I hope you don't feel alone here with people all around you. I hope you feel like you're family and we're together. And have I told you lately that I love you? We're family. I don't want anybody to feel alone. I was alone, but I wasn't lonely. I just needed to spend some time with the Lord. And as I wandered, an interesting thing happened is that there was a lady with a young boy on her back, just carrying him. And as they went by me, she had said to some people that we got to get to the washroom. And off she went, and I knew she was going in the right direction. She was close. I wandered a little bit further, and then she was coming back, same boy on her back. And she's got a map in her hand and says, the washroom's got to be around here somewhere. I could see that he was in trouble and she was about to be in trouble. And I said, excuse me, just so you know, that building right over there, that's the restaurant. Go in those doors, immediately hang a left, you'll be right at the washroom. Thank you, she said, very sincere thank you. And ran with her son. And it stood out to me. Maybe it sounds like a comical illustration, but it stood out to me. I saw someone in trouble and I just simply pointed the way. She was in trouble. They were in trouble and just needed help, and they thought they knew where they were going, and she's there with a map and can't figure it out. And all I did is I knew the way, so I just said, excuse me, go there, turn left, you'll be right there. On off she runs. I thought, I want to be that kind of person who, when people are in trouble, I have some direction to. I know the way, and I'm able to just offer them some help. Would you join me in Psalm 46? Because I've got a message that I'd like to share with you, and I think maybe that it might be for some of us, but it might just be more than for some of us. My hope and my, I guess maybe an insight would be, it's not just for some of us, it's for some of us to share. When we see people in trouble, that we're able to offer some help. There's some things that are comical about trouble, even in our phrasing. I don't know if you've ever had this said about you when you walk into a room or you approach some people, well, here comes trouble. Or if you've said, trouble's my middle name. Or anything lighthearted like that. But when the scripture talks about trouble, it's not so much in the lighthearted sense, but it's in a way that I think all of us can relate in some facet or another, that we find ourselves in trouble. And sometimes we can find ourselves in trouble unexpectedly. Sometimes we realize too late how much trouble we are in. And I've had that happen to me. Perhaps you have too. I had it happen as recent as last year. Driving into a snowstorm around a corner, thinking it's fine. I was born here. I can drive in the snow, only to discover it was a whiteout and it almost cost us our lives. But for the Lord's grace and mercy, we survived. But I didn't know we were in trouble, and we got into trouble so fast. And all of a sudden we were outgunned. And we were immediately in trouble, and I didn't know what to do other than pray in tongues and pray loudly in tongues. Just cry out to God. I had nothing other than God help, because we are immediately in trouble. Audrey told me a little while ago when I got home one day from the story that happened to our brother-in-law. Audrey's sister had called her to let her know that while they were eating dinner, he started to choke on some food. And how quickly he realized, and they realized, he was in trouble. You know, think, oh, there's something in my throat, I'll just clear that out. Didn't clear, blocked off his air passage. All of a sudden, he's on the floor, just having dinner together. Just regular night meal. All of a sudden, in trouble, on the floor, not breathing, 911 on the phone, sending the little kids upstairs to their rooms because they're really scared about what's happening with daddy. They're talking you through the Heimlich, which is not working. Eyes turning bright red, color changing, not breathing, only a slight bit of air passage coming through just before the paramedics arrived. The food is dislodged and he has taken just a very long time to recover. Trouble happens so quickly, just in the course of eating a meal. We can get in trouble and not realize it so quickly. One of the words for trouble in Scripture, it has to do with distress, affliction, anxiety, adversity, anguish, tribulation. It appears in Genesis. When Jacob looks back, he's fleeing from his brother Esau, fleeing for his life. And it talks about how God met him in the day of his distress. He was in trouble, but God was there. It was there It shows up in the Bible when Joseph's brothers are talking about him. We don't hear Joseph saying this, but we hear his brothers telling the story of when they saw Joseph in the pit, when they had sold, were about to sell him into slavery. It says, we recall that we saw his anguish and his distress. That's the kind of trouble the Bible talks about. It appears when Samuel's mother, Hannah, is being ridiculed by her husband's other wife. Scripture says that her rival provoked her severely to make her miserable. The word has to do with being vexed and provoked by an adversary. Two wives, that is trouble. It's come from a word that has to do with adversity and foe. It's a word that Hezekiah uses. When Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, surrounds Jerusalem, the Assyrians have come against Jerusalem. King Sennacherib is there. 46 cities have fallen. Jerusalem is about to be the 47th. He surrounds Jerusalem in siege, and Hezekiah says, he uses these words, we are in a day of trouble. In fact, many believe that Psalm 46 was written about this time when Sennacherib surrounded Jerusalem. Isaiah 36 will talk about the letters that Hezekiah received from the enemy, given to the king to not trust in God, but instead to surrender. If you were to follow the story through Isaiah 36 and 37, you would see that in the morning, because Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, Isaiah the prophet comes to him and says, God is going to work a victory here. And in the morning, 185,000 of Sennacherib's army lay dead where they slept. An angel of the Lord wiped out 185,000 soldiers. Psalm 46, what I'd like you to see, look at this morning in the Bible, will point us to not focusing on trouble itself, but rather to lift up our heads in the midst of our trouble and look to God. Psalm 46, 47, and 48. They all have to do with their psalms of praise. They're celebrating deliverance from a great enemy, from a great adversity. Psalm 46, 47, and 48. They're literally to be sung by the maidens. This is the women's chorus going to sing, and traditionally in the soprano voices. And so I'm going to from here on in the message, I'm going to sing in a soprano voice these psalms. No, I'm not. That will bless no one. But God is going to bless His word. Amen. Psalm 46. Here we go. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. Pause. God. The psalmist, the sons of Korah, they will bring us back to God 6 times in this psalm. God is. God is. God shall. God is. God will. Things change when God is in the picture. There's only one time in this psalm that this particular word is used, when it says, God is my refuge. It shows up a couple more times where we hear the word refuge, but this word only shows up once. It's my refuge. It means a shelter from the storm. A shelter from danger. It's used again in Isaiah 25, where we read that God is a shelter from a storm. It says, this is our God. He is a shelter from the storm. He is a very present help in trouble. I have learned this. Has anybody else discovered that God is a present help in trouble? God is a very present help in time of trouble. Very present. The New Living Translation says this. Always ready. That's what the connotation has to do with. Very present. Abundantly available. It has to do with he has proven himself to be reliable in the past. Therefore, I have no reason to fear because he's got a credible reputation. He is a very present help based on his faithfulness in the past. God has been faithful and God is faithful. Always ready, abundantly able to help. The word help means help. It's not complicated. It means he is able and available to help in trouble. It doesn't mean just near trouble. It's not just somehow that, it's not that he'll get in trouble with you, but he will be in trouble with you. When you're in trouble, he's not just going to spectate. Over to the side. He will be right there in trouble with you. When you, whatever you're going to face, whatever you are facing, I will be with you. When you walk through the water, he'll be with you. When you walk through the flame, he will be with you. He will be with you. In the midst of my distress. And sometimes we look at that word and think distress, that it's this huge tribulation or distress that comes upon us. I think it also has to do with in the midst of my stress, just being stressed out. In the midst of our stress and our distress, our affliction, our adversity, the things that we face in life, just because we live on the planet, or the strategic assault of our adversary that has come against us, God is present, God is ready, God is willing, and God is able to be our help in those times. He has been a help, and he is a help. Sometimes we find ourselves in trouble, and listen, sometimes we get ourselves in trouble, but he's still our help. He's still our help. He doesn't come to condemn us, he comes to rescue us. He comes to set us free, and I wonder if there's someone here this morning that you might look at your life and say, I'm in trouble. I have a trouble. I wonder if there's someone here this morning that you would say, I know someone who's in trouble, who has a trouble. There's good news for you and there's good news for them. God is a very present help in trouble. Scripture says he will never leave us or forsake us. And do you know why that is? You know why that he's able to say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? Because of the cross. Because of the price Jesus paid. Jesus cried out these words, my God, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken that we would never be. He took our penalty. He took our place. We never need to be separated from not only the love of God, but the presence of God. And God will be with us. Therefore, we look back what's already been said. God's a shelter for us. And we look at his faithfulness and the fact that not only has he been present in the past, but he'll be present for you right now. Ready, willing, abundantly able to help. The truth of that as we believe it. Dear ones, may we recognize his love in that. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Even when we don't feel worthy of it. When we sang those words earlier this morning, when I didn't feel like there was anything of worth in me, he loved us. We may not be worthy, but we are never worthless. We aren't worthy, but we are never worthless. He loved us so much. The ransom of a soul is costly. He loved us so much, he gave us his son. See the marvelous, wonderful love that he has for us. He doesn't take joy in your trouble, but I'll tell you this, he takes joy in rescuing you out of trouble. He takes joy in rescuing his kids. His perfect love covering us, and his perfect love casts out all fear. Therefore, I will not be afraid. I think there's two things with that word, therefore I will not be afraid. Sometimes we think of the word afraid, And it's the terror. I will not be terrified. And that's good. We will not be terrified because the Lord is a very present help in times of trouble. But there's another meaning to that word afraid or fear. We would recognize that when we talk about the fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom. It's talking about reverence. It's talking about honor. It's not talking about being afraid of our Father, but it's talking about giving Him reverence and honor. That's due His name. Just acknowledging, God, I come and approach You boldly with confidence, but still with tremendous reverence. I fear You. And in this, it says, we will not be afraid. We will not give that kind of honor. We will not give that kind of reverence to the trouble. We will not be afraid. We will not only, it's not that we're just going to not be terrified. It's not we're not going to give it reverence. We're not going to give that fear honor. We're not going to give the enemy that kind of place, because God is a very present help in time of trouble. So what I'm facing is shaking the very foundation of the world. We read it, the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, the earth moving. So what I'm shaking, what I'm experiencing shakes our world. I found a shelter in the storm, and there's no reason to fear because He's so trustworthy. When there's so much turbulence that happens in our lives, the very ground we're standing on, shaking, your solid footing, all of a sudden, what you've based your life on or counting on, so many people in our world trust in so many things, and only to discover that their footing becomes very, very fragile. Listen to the news. Listen to the earthquakes, disasters all throughout the world. There are many whose foundations are shaken. Maybe yours have been, and maybe it's the people in your lives. And sometimes it doesn't take much to shake the very core of our being. It's maybe a word from a doctor, or a note from a spouse, or an answering of the doorbell. My friends experienced this, to discover the police officer standing there to say that they've been in an accident, and they're very sorry to inform you. To the ones who go to work that morning having no idea that that was going to be their last day, or the dreams or the plans of the future, things changed and we thought this wasn't going to be my life. They discover so quickly future that's been shattered. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Neither be afraid. In this world you'll have trouble. But we don't need to fear. You know why? Because he's overcome. He's overcome the world. And it says, after verse 3, pause. Think. Just rest in this. God is my refuge. He's my shelter. God is my refuge. I don't need to fear. Though the foundations shake all around me, I don't need to fear. I loved how Ben, the team, just led us in that moment. We just rest in His love. Nobody needs to do anything. We can just pause here. Meditate. Verse 4. There's a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Verse 5 says, God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raised, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. Verse 7 says, the Lord of hosts, the Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of heaven's armies, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. We've gone from the protection of God to the presence of God. Instead of a tumultuous storm, the earth shaking, the mountains moving, the waters roaring, troubled, the psalmists talk about a river, a stream, river, symbolic of the presence of God. A river of life, His Spirit. His presence like a peaceful flowing stream instead of the tumultuous storms and waves that crash in. We've gone from just not only the protection, a refuge, but the presence of God. Isaiah 33:21 says, the Lord will be for us a place of broad rivers and streams. The Lord will be a place for us of broad rivers and streams. Revelation 22 talks about a river of God that flows from the very throne of God. Evidence of God's presence, His Spirit. And it says, shall make us glad. Dear ones, we've gone from trouble to gladness. Because we found that the Lord is our protection. But not only has He protected us, His presence is here. And it's His presence that makes the difference. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because You are with me. Your presence is what makes the difference. God is in the midst of her and she shall not be moved. And if this psalm was echoed at the time of Sennacherib surrounding Jerusalem, he will help her at the break of day. And as they looked out at daybreak, they looked out at dawn, 185,000 of the enemy lay dead. One angel. God is with us. God is our refuge. And this word, it doesn't show up where it's somehow a shelter when it says it here, God is our refuge. It's a fortress. It's a high tower. There is an elevation to the fortress. Martin Luther would cry, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. And so it's not just this place shelter from the storm, but this word refuge, it has to do with high above, high, far above, a fortress, a stronghold. A mighty fortress is our God. Not just a shelter from the storm, a defense that's secure. And the Bible says pause. Not only of His protection, but pause and rest in His presence. Verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. He makes wars to cease. I love that statement. I think it's the statement of a parent looking after his kids. I didn't start this, but I'm going to finish it. I didn't start this war, but I am going to finish it. And he says this, be still. And so many times we use that verse as a point of silent worship. And I don't take anything away from that. And I think that's a beautiful verse application to be still and know that I am God, but that is not what the psalmist was saying. The wars to cease, it's not just a point of silent worship, it's be still. As the nations are raging, as the war is going on, it's the same connotation when Jesus looked at the wind and the waves and he stood up in the boat and he said, be still. And everything changed. It's this, God is our shelter, God is our fortress, and when God stands up and says, be still, the chariots, the horses, the enemy, it's over, because a mighty fortress is our God. Be still, I'm your safety. It's not just only to the people of God in silent worship, and I hope that doesn't take anything away from you if that verse is significant and meaningful to you about be still and know that I am God. There is good place for that. Lots of scriptures talk about just stand still and watch the salvation of our Lord. But it's more than that. It's to the enemy who is attacking. And because then it says, God will be exalted. God will be exalted. The victory is the Lord's. The Lord of hosts, the Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of heaven's armies. He will be exalted. In that refuge, high, unattainable, he will be exalted. The enemy declared, I will be like the Most High. I will ascend. And I saw Satan fall like lightning. Unattainable heights. But the God who lives in unattainable heights, whose thoughts are so far above ours, whose ways are so far above ours, that very God is not so high that he can't hear you. From whatever trouble or pit you find yourself in, there is no place. There is no place that you can fall, no pit so deep that when you cry out to the Lord, who is the Most High, that He can't hear you. In a moment, I'm going to get excited. I don't mean to yell at you. But I've got reason to shout. Because it's a voice of triumph. Because the Lord our God is the victorious one. And He is a refuge. He is a shelter
In any storm, we can go to Him and be saved. The righteous run in, and they are saved.
At this time, when the enemy had postured themselves around the people of God, Nahum 1:7, he will cry, "The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble." He's still a bridge over troubled waters. For the troubled soul, this message may have been for you. But more than that, it may be for people in your life that they need to know that God can be a very present help in time of trouble. God is a very present help with protection and provision. He doesn't love that we're in trouble, but He loves to rescue us. And so instead of only hearing this message, can I invite you? I would like to give you a copy of my sermon notes. You've already got it. Psalm 46. There's the outline. It's already in your hands. All you need to do is take it and share it with somebody. Just like I did at the zoo with the lady who was in trouble. When I saw that she was in trouble, I pointed her in the right direction. May we be a people who know the right direction to point people, and we're able to point them to Jesus, a very present help in time of trouble. This week, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You are equipped with His Word to take the good news of the message of the gospel to people who are in trouble, because there is no plan B. You're it. We're it. In coffee shops, in your workplace, in schools, our communities, wherever we are, when we see people in trouble, may we give them hope that God can reach them and help them. May they turn their eyes to Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. God, thank You so much that You are preeminence, that You are exalted, that You are the high and lofty one, that You are a mighty fortress, that You are a defense, and God, that You are the one who still causes storms to cease. And You move us from places of trouble to places of gladness. There is a city of God that God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. There's a river, the Spirit of God, that makes us glad. And with a word, You can cause the storm to cease. God, for those here this morning who are in a storm, I pray today that even though the storm is around them, the storm would not be within them. Your word tells us that You will keep us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed and fixed on You because we trust in You. Oh God, I pray for Your peace to so captivate and fill each troubled heart today, each troubled mind today, that You would be the shelter from the storm. You are the refuge. You are our hope. You are our high tower. Oh God, we run into You and we are saved. We are safe. God, thank You for Your love today and so invites us into Your presence. God, I pray You would provide a way through the trouble. That we wouldn't stall out, and in the midst of trouble, we wouldn't take our eyes off of You. Just like Peter walking on the water, God, we would keep our eyes on You. And even in the moments, because You know our own frailty, when we fail or get distracted, God, You're right there to rescue us. You're right there to hold us. But God, help us to keep our eyes on You. And I pray in doing so, there would be such courage and strength in times of trouble. But God, we pray not only for ourselves, but we pray for those around us. Those that You have brought into our path, into our workplaces, our schools, our communities, wherever we are, oh God. God, we pray that we would be able to be a voice of hope to people, to point the way, to give direction. Jesus, that You're the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, and that in times of trouble, we can be a voice of hope, letting people know that there's a place that they can turn to. There's a refuge. There's a mighty fortress they can run into. And God, that You're the one who would say, "Peace be still." You'd be their defense, and You would, with saving grace, bring peace into their lives. God, use us this week to reach our city for You. In Jesus' name we pray.